Shall we turn to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9? And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Well, good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Doing good? Well, happy Sabbath to you all. It's wonderful to see so many of you here today. And we are so happy and we are rejoicing in the fact that we can witness a baptism today and that we can also celebrate that we can come to the house of the Lord where we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we have just wrapped up our series, War of Thrones, and it's been a wonderful journey. And I've enjoyed every single moment of it. And so I want to thank Sutherland Adventist Church for the invitation for me to come and to conduct these meetings. And whenever you have a prophecy series like this, it's definitely not a one-man show. There are so many people involved, and I want to thank you for all that you have done to make this a success. And we pray that these meetings and these presentations may continue to reach people and that many, many more people may be blessed by studying God's Word. And I pray that you individually may take the effort to do more for Jesus, as we've been hearing in that song, that we can reflect upon our lives and that we can do whatever the Lord leads us to do to reach people for Jesus in this time. Amen? Well, it's a privilege for me to share with you this morning, and this will be my final message. Tomorrow I'll be flying back to Norway with my family. It's been an enjoyable 3 weeks here in the United States, and I do hope that we can come back sometime. And so what I thought would be a blessing to be able to share is some experience that the Lord has given me in working for Him, in ministry. And so I'll be sharing a couple of moments that have been significant for me in my ministry as an evangelist. And so before I do that, I just would like to have another word of prayer that God will lead and guide us in our time together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this beautiful Sabbath. We thank you that we can be gathered together in your house. And I pray now that you will lead us in a study of your word, and also lead us as we share with one another the wonderful things that you have done. And Lord, as I share my story this morning, I pray that it may be a blessing for everyone gathered here, and that we will be reminded, Lord, that your strength is made perfect in our weakness, that, Lord, when we feel our dependence upon you, that it is then that you can do significant things in our lives. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, I want you to turn again to the scripture reading here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, begin reading in verse 7, so we get a little bit of the context of this passage. This passage has meant a lot for me. This passage has really become kind of the motto of my ministry, I would say. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, particularly verse 9, but I want to read it in its context here. So we'll begin in verse 7. Paul is writing here to the church in Corinth, and this is his second letter, 2 Corinthians. And as he's reflecting on his ministry, he writes the following words, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul writes these words as he's reflecting upon his ministry and his experience of laboring for and reaching people with the gospel truth. Now, there have been Bible scholars and Bible students that have tried to figure out what actually Paul was dealing with. What was the thorn in the flesh that caused Paul to pen down these words? Well, we don't know exactly what it was, but there have been some guesses as to what it could be. There are some letters where Paul is referring to his bad eyesight. That could be what he is referring to here. But whatever it is that is causing Paul to feel very weak, to feel insufficient, to feel his need of strength that is coming from outside of him. And so he writes that his strength is made perfect in weakness. Actually, the words there in verse 9 should be in red, because these are the words of Jesus to Paul. Jesus says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient." And then Jesus says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, these words are very countercultural, because it sounds awkward, it sounds strange to say that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. In our world today, we would say that our strength is made perfect in getting a good degree. Our strength is made perfect in making money. Our strength is made perfect in getting a good career or knowing the right people or having enough money or whatever it may be. We think that our strength is made perfect in us becoming sufficient in life and efficient, and that we can develop the skills that we have. But Paul says, "My strength is made perfect," and that awkward phrase comes, "in weakness, in dependence." It's really a story of dependence. Paul is saying the moments that God's strength was most manifest in my life was actually not when I had everything together. It was not when I felt that I could just do this thing. No, it was in those moments when I felt the greatest need of help outside of myself. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. I want to share a couple of experiences that I've had in ministry where I have been able to relate to these words. I've been able to relate to what Paul penned down there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I felt that I needed a strength outside of myself. I felt that I was so dependent upon God because in my weakness I didn't know what to do. But then God came through. And this has really been the story of my ministry. I remember very well when I decided that I wanted to teach God's word, that I felt that this was something that was very difficult for me, and I wasn't sure if I had the strength to do this. And so I would pray and ask God for guidance. And I remember very well when I was going to give my very first Bible study, I wanted to do a good job. And so I prepared very well for that Bible study. It was a lady that I was going to study with, and she had expressed that she wanted to study the Bible with me. I did not know her. As a matter of fact, I'd met her when I was knocking on doors, and she said she wanted to study the Bible. So I had no idea what I was going to meet when I was going to begin these Bible studies with her. And I remember very well that I felt that I needed all the preparation that I could get. And so I began to prepare a Bible study that I was going to give. And the Bible study that I chose to give her was the Bible study on Daniel chapter 2 and the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and this fascinating prophecy of the various kingdoms that would come leading down to our time and the coming of Jesus. And so I'm preparing this Bible study and I'm writing down everything so I make sure that I have all the details that I want to relate to her. And I remember that I was also memorizing the dates of the various kingdoms because I just wanted to do my very best as I would present this Bible study. And I wanted to make sure that I knew the material that I was going to cover. And so I would memorize those dates from when Babylon ruled from 605 to 539, and then when Medo-Persia ruled, and then when Greece ruled, and when Rome ruled, and what would happen. And I tried to memorize it so that I wouldn't have to look too much at my notes. And I thought that I was ready for the Bible study. I thought that I was prepared because I had used a lot of time in preparation. And so the day came that I met with this lady. And as I said before, I only met her a couple of minutes when I came to her door, so I knew nothing about her. And so as we sat down, I also remembered, and this was part of my preparation, that I was going to ask her to tell me a little bit about herself. I remember going to Bible college, and my teacher in evangelism, he would say, when you're giving Bible studies to people, don't just focus on the Bible study, but get to know them a little bit. And so that was also in my preparation. And so I had already prepared a question like, tell me a little bit about yourself. And then as we would go on a couple of minutes, I would get into the Bible study. And I thought that everything was ready to go. And so I asked that question. I sat down with her and I said, tell me a little about yourself. And well, that's exactly what she did, but not just a little bit. And so she started pouring out to me her life story. And as she's pouring out her life story, she's telling me about the disappointments and discouragements and difficulties that she has gone through in her upbringing. She told me about the abuse that she experienced in her home. She told me about how she had to leave home and how she got involved in a gang and how she got involved in drugs and how eventually she thought that she found the love of her life, but he also started abusing her. And she told me so many things. And as she is telling me these things, there are literally tears running down her eyes. And here I am. I'm a 21-year-old that has never given a Bible study before. And this is going to be my first Bible study. And I'm sitting here opposite of her, and she's crying, and she's telling me her whole story. And all I have prepared is Daniel chapter 2. And so I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? I mean, it's kind of maybe inappropriate to just say, you know, Babylon ruled from 605 to 539. And so I started praying, and I said, God, you got to break through here. And by the way, Daniel 2 is an amazing study, but there are times and places for things, right? And so I started praying, and I said, God, I need your help right now. You need to give me the words because everything that I've prepared is inappropriate right now. You need to give me the right thing to say. And so I started speaking with her, and I don't remember exactly what I said, but I said something to this effect. I said, you know, I don't understand exactly what you're going through, but I do know someone that understands what you're going through. Oh, and he came into this world and he gave his life for you. He died for you. And you know what? He loves you and he's never going to disappoint you. And I just felt that the gospel was flowing out of me and I hadn't prepared anything of what I said that day. And as I drove home that evening, I thought to myself, this is exactly the words that Paul penned down in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, the grace of God is sufficient. And Jesus said to him, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. This is what I felt. God's strength was made perfect in my weakness. Because I was dependent upon him at that moment. There was nothing that I knew what I should do. The experience was not there, but God came through. And as we depend on him, he will not fail us. Amen? It was some years later that I had the opportunity to go on my very first foreign mission trip. And so I was preparing for this trip in advance. I had a friend that lived in East Africa, in Kenya. And so I was communicating with him, and he was already down there in Kenya. And I'd met him in Europe, but he went back to Kenya, and he asked me if I could come and preach an evangelistic series. And so I'm preparing a team in Europe, and actually there were several people that were going to join us. So we had quite a significant team that was going to go down there. And I'm communicating with him on email, and so I'm making sure that everything is in place. And so I write to him and I say, this is the amount of people we're coming with. We were about 10 people. I said, do you have enough rooms for us? And are there enough bathrooms in your house? And do you have internet? Because we'll need that. And every time I would write to him, he would just give me this one-liner back. And he said, just come. It's okay. Just come. It's okay. Don't worry. Just come. And so I'm continually communicating with him, hoping that everything is in place when we go on this mission trip. And so the day comes. We fly from Norway all the way to East Africa, to Kenya. He picks us up, and we're driving to the house where we're going to stay. And as we arrive, I get out of the car, and instantly, I thought to myself, not everything is okay. They're still building the house. They weren't even finished. And there was no internet. There were no bathrooms. There was no electricity in the house. And there was no furniture in the house. We had these little thin mats that we had to sleep on. And because they were still working with the concrete, it was attracting these little red ants that when we would lay down at night, they would just make a highway across our body and they would bite. And so here we are, far away from home. And I remember so well that I pulled out my ticket and I looked at my ticket and said, I was going to fly back in 2 months. I said, oh, how are we going to survive here for 2 months? But as the days went by, we tried, of course, to make the best out of the situation. And if any of you have been to a third world country, you will know that kind of culture shock that you go through in the beginning. Well, this is exactly what we were going through. But I was preaching my heart out. I was preaching this evangelistic series. We had a plan. And our plan was to be in one place where we began for a whole month and to preach an evangelistic series there. And then to travel to the other side of the country, the western side of the country. And then we would be there a second month and preach a second evangelistic series. And so as we came to the close of that first evangelistic series, as the first month of our stay is coming to a close, we just have one night left, and then the next day we're planning to travel to the west side of the country. Well, as we went to sleep that night, it was some hours in the early morning, about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, that three men broke into our house. And by the way, that was not so difficult. And they had machetes with them. Machetes is kind of this sword that they use there to cut in the jungle. But they had these machetes with them. And they came into the house where we were staying. And they went from room to room. And they basically just took everything. Now, I slept through it, actually, and I'm glad for that, because what do you do if suddenly there's three men in your room with machetes? Well, perhaps you'll react in a way that is not convenient for yourself. So I actually slept through the whole thing, but I woke up, and someone shouted in the house, "We've been robbed! We've been robbed!" And I thought to myself, oh, this is just someone having a nightmare. They've been robbed. I've not been robbed. And so I started feeling around in the room, and oh, yes, my bags were gone. And we couldn't just switch on the light because there was no light. And so eventually we got someone to get a light into the room, and yes, my things were gone. My things were all stolen. My computer, my projector, my Bible was in the bag, my money, my passport, everything. They just left some clothes and a pair of shoes. And so we got together as a team, and of course, we were all robbed, and we started talking, what are we going to do? And I'm just grateful, by the way, that no one was physically harmed. There was one guy that woke up, and they just put the machete on his neck, and they said, shh. Well, he kept quiet. And then there was another one in our team, a young lady. She woke up, and they were in her room, and she said, you know what? I'm going to start praying. And she prayed out loud, and they became a little bit uneasy, and that's when they left. But they did leave with all of our stuff. And so here we are, and so we came together, and we're talking about what are we going to do? And I'm going to be very honest with you, because I don't want to play like kind of the super missionary here. My instant thought was, it's time to go home. It's like, okay, we've experienced the mission field, and you know how it is when you're back in your comfort zone in the United States or back in your comfort zone in Europe, and you get the magazines, right? And they bring out these beautiful magazines about mission field, mission experiences, and it looks so good on the pictures, you know? Everyone is smiling. Everyone has white, shining teeth. And then we have these baptisms, and it just looks glorious. And you think, sign me up, sign me up. But then when you actually get there, things are a little bit different. And so here we are. What do we do? We've lost all of our belongings. And how are we going to continue this trip? But I will never forget that one person in our team, she was such an encouragement. She said, remember what Paul went through. Paul was shipwrecked 3 times. Paul was beaten with rods several times. Paul, at one instance, was stoned. What did that look like? Can you imagine traveling together with Paul, being one of his co-workers, and he gets dragged out of a city and he gets stoned, and there's just this pile of rocks, and his friends are standing around him and thinking, okay, the whole deal is over. And then the stones start moving, and Paul gets back up, and he brushes himself off, and he says, let's go to the next town and preach. Like, you couldn't stop this guy. Either he got kicked out of a city, or he planted a church in a city. Amen. And so we thought to ourselves, there are those that have gone before us that have gone through these difficulties. Let's not give up. Let's continue. Let's not let this stop us from the mission that God has given us. And so we started planning for the second evangelistic series in the West part of the country that we had already planned to do. How are we going to do this now? And of course, there were some challenges because my computer was stolen and my projector was stolen, and so I had no slides. I had no PowerPoint presentation. And my notes for the evangelistic series, this was early on when I still used notes, and my notes had been stolen. So I hope they're actually reading them. I hope that they read the note, that I meet them in heaven. So my notes are gone. And worst thing of all, I had a Bible that I got at my conversion. And you know how it is when you have a Bible that is just really yours. And I'd marked that Bible. I'd written dates in that Bible of experiences that God gave me. I had highlighted that Bible. That Bible, in the book of Daniel, Revelation, there was no white space in the margin. I'd just written in that Bible. And it was so precious to me. It becomes like a friend. You know what it is like. And they took my Bible. I remember when we went to the police office and they asked, okay, what is the most expensive thing that you've lost? And instantly I said, my Bible. And he looked at me and he's kind of like, okay, so that's why you're here? And then I said, this amount of money, this projector, this computer. And then he started smiling. So the Bible was taken. And so now I'm going to preach an evangelistic series. I'm still a young evangelist. I'm going to preach an evangelistic series without a projector, without a computer, without notes, and without my own Bible. I mean, you know how it is when you borrow a Bible. Suddenly the book of Habakkuk is no longer in there, right? You don't know how to find it. Like, it's disappeared. It's difficult to find your way in a Bible that is not yours. But there was one of the Bible workers, and he came up to me, and he gave me this little pocket Bible, and he said, Daniel, I want you to remember that David slew Goliath with a little stone. So take this Bible and face the giant. And so I decided that I'm not going to let this stop me. And so we did travel to the west side of the country. And I said to God, and I read these verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And as I said, this has become the motto of my ministry. And I said, God, you said to Paul that your grace is sufficient. You said to him that your strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul responded and said, I will most gladly boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I said, Lord, here I am. I'm weak. Everything that I thought I needed to do this work has been taken from me. But Lord, I know that you are faithful. And I know that in my weakness that you can give me your strength. And so I depend upon you. And so I got up that first evening to preach the message. No slides, no PowerPoint, no notes, and a borrowed Bible. And I'm telling you, my friends, it was one of the best experiences that I've ever had in ministry. Because God came through, amen? God comes through in our weakness. When we come to the end of ourselves and we say, God, what am I going to do right now? Then God says, my strength is made perfect in your, not your ability, in your weakness. Amen? It's a story of dependence. Some years ago, I had the opportunity to travel back to the country of my birth, which is New Zealand. And I was invited to preach an evangelistic series together with another speaker in New Zealand in the city of Christchurch. This was in the year 2011. And so we had done a lot of planning, and there was another evangelist, David Asherick, that was going to begin the meetings, and then I was going to come in and preach kind of a continuation of that series. And so we had planned for this, and it was going to be a citywide outreach, and they had rented one of the biggest auditoriums in the city. And on opening night, we had hundreds of people come out to the meetings. I think it was up to 500 people. So we were just rejoicing that God had brought so many people to these meetings. And as I was flying to New Zealand, and David already began the meetings, and he was kind of halfway in the series, and I was on my way there, I remember very well that I landed in Sydney, Australia, and I was going to get a connecting flight to New Zealand. And then I heard that the flight was canceled. And I heard also shortly after that why it was canceled, because a great earthquake had just hit the city of New Zealand. You might remember this from the news, February 2011, 200 people killed in the earthquake, the city just devastated. And so here we are in the middle of an evangelistic series. And here we hear, I can't go to New Zealand that evening. I had to stay in a hotel. And I remember just switching on the TV in the hotel room, and the live footage was on the screen of what was taking place in New Zealand. And I thought to myself, God, what's going to happen now? The city is in ruins, and here we have planned for this series. And so we started praying. And the next day, I was able to get on one of the first flights from Australia to New Zealand. And it was quite an experience, because many of the people that were on that flight were people from Christchurch that had been on holidays in Australia, and so they were coming back to, well, they didn't know what they were coming back to. And so it was very quiet on that flight. We landed in Christchurch. We got together with the elders of the church and the team that had put together these meetings, and we started praying and thinking of what we can now do, because we couldn't continue the meetings because the auditorium was in a part of the city that was not so affected, but the civil defense had taken the building and they were using it as a place from which to help the city with supplies and such. And so we started praying, like, okay, what can we do? And actually we started going door to door and praying with people, because we knew that a lot of people were distressed with what was happening. So we offered to pray for them. But also we were planning towards restarting these meetings. And I just really sensed the spiritual battle that was taking place, because as we would try to do some visitation with the people that had been coming to the meetings prior to the earthquake, we found that a lot of the people had left the city. As a matter of fact, there was a huge exodus out of the city after that earthquake. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people left the city. And so some of them we just never saw again. And I just thought, wow, what a spiritual battle. Here we are in the midst of these presentations. One of the last things that had been presented was actually the Sabbath truth. The truth about God's holy day, the Sabbath. Decisions had been made. And we know that there's a war of thrones going on. And there's an enemy that wants to disturb this work, wants to defeat the purposes of God. But God is good, amen? And even through calamities and difficulties, he can bring something beautiful. Because what happened was that as we started planning towards a restart of these meetings, and we were able to get the building back after, I think it was about 2 weeks or so, we re-advertised the meetings to start up again. And we actually gave it the title, In the Wake of the Quake, Where is God When It Hurts? And so that night that we started the meetings again, I was very curious to see if anyone would come, because there had been public announcements given in the city that it was not wise to gather in large buildings because there could be aftershocks that was expected. Well, that evening when we was going to start the meetings, people just started coming. Many people started coming. That was interesting because they would come in and they would be keen to be there, but they would also be asking, so where's the exit? So people were aware that they needed to get out of the building fast if something happened, but they came. And so we were able to restart the meetings. And I thought to myself, again, the story of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that here we are in a situation that none of us had expected, a situation where we feel that we're very dependent upon God because everything has been disrupted. I mean, the last thing that you expect to shake is the earth. When the earth starts shaking, what is your foundation now? Well, the foundation that we need in life is none other than Jesus Christ, amen, and His Word. And as we restarted the meeting, we actually did get some new people coming that had not come prior to the earthquake. I remember very well a couple that we started studying the Bible with, and they would tell us their story and how they had thought that they had everything together in life. And when the earthquake hit, there was such a fear, and the husband and the wife were in two different places and they couldn't get a hold of each other. And so they just didn't know what had happened to the other person, and they were living in this fear. And then as they did meet and they were both okay, they started thinking more about life. Yeah, life is very uncertain. Anytime this can be over. And then as they heard about these meetings, they just wanted to have some more stability in their lives. And they thought, well, maybe the Bible can provide that stability. And so they started coming to the meetings. And I could see how God was working through the circumstance of this earthquake to even bring people to Himself. I remember another couple, and they were learning these amazing truths of the Bible. And they actually made a decision that they wanted to start keeping the Sabbath holy. And he had a job, and he was not quite sure if they would allow him to get off on Sabbaths. And so we talked together, and he decided that he was going to talk with his boss. And so he did talk with his boss, and his boss said to him, well, I want you to really think that through, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. And the way that his boss spoke to him, he had the idea that this is not good. But as he struggled that night with what he should do, he also felt a peace that God was in control, and he was willing, even if it meant that he would lose his job, he was willing to take the step in faithful obedience to God. And so the next day he met with his boss, and his boss said, you know what, you've been a good worker and I don't want to lose you. And so I've decided to give you Sabbaths off. And not only that, he actually got a better position. And so God was working through all of this. I'm thinking about the stories that we have in the Bible about how God works in our lives, but often He shows us how we must be dependent upon Him. He shows us our need of seeking for Him. I'm thinking, for example, about the story of the manna, where God provides food for His people. And He says, 6 days I'm going to provide manna for you. And on the sixth day, I'm going to provide a double portion of manna. But on the seventh day, there will be no manna. And this was a way for God's people to learn dependence. They were to go out every morning and gather up that manna, and they were to trust that God would provide enough for every single day. And on that sixth day, they were to trust God that He would provide a double portion so that they would be able to enter into His rest on that seventh day Sabbath. My friends, God is a God that provides. Amen? God provides, but as God provides, from our side, He wants us to express faith in Him, to live a life of dependence, to say, I am actually not going to go out on that seventh day. I'm going to keep your Sabbath. I'm not going to work on your Sabbath, but I trust that you will give me that double portion on Friday so that you can lead me through that Sabbath experience. And this is so important for us today, that we live in dependence upon God. I'm also reminded of the story of Abraham, where Abraham is asked to sacrifice his son. And of course, God doesn't want his son's life. This is only a picture that God is going to use to illustrate something far greater and deeper. And so Abraham makes his way to Mount Moriah, where he thinks he's going to sacrifice his son. But God has another plan. And when he gets to the top of Mount Moriah and he's going to take the life of Isaac, then God says, no, don't take the life of your son. And God provides a ram for the sacrifice. And Abraham calls the place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. And I think this is to be our experience today as well. My friends, the Lord will provide. Amen? When we feel weak, the Lord will provide. When we feel we have no strength, the Lord will provide. When we think that we need to disobey God's commandment in order to make it financially in life, God says, you need to depend on me. The Lord will provide. The Lord will give the portion that you need for you to follow him in obedience. Can you say amen? And so I just pray that these few stories that I've been able to share with you today may be an encouragement and inspiration for you to live a life of dependence upon God. To live a life where you say, in my weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Because when I'm weak and when I've come to the end of myself and when I feel that I have nothing more to give, then I live in dependence upon God and I let him into my life so that he can do what I can't do. I live a life of dependence and he is faithful to provide. Amen? Well, this is also the story of baptism, because when we think about baptism that we're about to witness right now, baptism is all about a story of dependence. Amen? It's living your life in dependence on God. It's actually saying to God, I want my old life to be buried so I can come up and live a new life. I want to enter into the experience of the death and resurrection of Jesus, and I want to, from now on, depend on Jesus every single day. Amen? So I just pray that as we witness this baptism, that we will be reminded that God is calling us to live a life of dependence. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. I want to thank you that your grace is sufficient. I want to thank you that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. And thank you, Lord, that we can live a life of dependence. And I pray that as we now witness this beautiful baptism, that you'll remind us what it means to lay aside the old life and to rise up in newness in Christ Jesus. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we've been very blessed these last few weeks having Daniel here together with Sylvia and his family. It's been a tremendous spiritual feast as we've come together every day to study God's word together and be inspired. And here we are at the end of this series, and two of our brothers and sisters have made the decision to rededicate their lives to Christ. Tony and Sherry were baptized some time ago, but they have felt the promptings of the Holy Spirit to rededicate their lives to Jesus. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. God has been leading you step by step to the point of wanting to once again give your life to Jesus. And I thank Daniel for being here and being part of that process. And I know that there are others who are contemplating baptism. God wants to do a mighty work in all of our lives. And I would like to invite you to think for a moment about what God is asking you to do. Perhaps God is asking you to get rebaptized or to get baptized for the first time, just like they are being rebaptized here today. God is calling each one of us. I really appreciate that sermon, Daniel, about dependence, because that is one of the main characteristics of a life that's surrendered to Jesus, is being dependent upon him. The other characteristic that I would like to bring out right now that I think fits very well with dependence is obedience. When you look at the life of Jesus, one of the defining characteristics of his life was obedience. Philippians chapter 2 says that he was obedient even unto death. Hebrews describes him as having learned obedience through suffering. Jesus is wanting you to learn dependence and obedience. Obedience in the face of obstacles. Obedience in the face of opposition. Obedience when it's contrary to your will. And the reason why I'm speaking to you now is because we would like to pray a special prayer over you that the Holy Spirit would fill you and enable you to be obedient in all things, and that God would give you that power to walk in dependence upon him every single day. And so before you're baptized, we want to ask that the Holy Spirit would fill you and give you the joy and the peace that passes all understanding and the power to obey God in all things. Because without this power, it is impossible to walk on water and live the Christian life. And so Daniel and I are going to pray over you, and we want God to anoint you with his Holy Spirit. So let us do that. We will be asking for God's Spirit to come upon you. We'll be laying our hands upon you. Father in heaven, I just praise you and thank you for the fact that you have been working in Sherry's life, and you've been working in Tony's life. And Lord, I just want to ask that you would forgive them their sins and their shortcomings. that you would forgive us, Father, for our sins and our shortcomings. And Lord, I just pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. You would anoint them with power, power to live a righteous and a godly life, a life of obedience. You know the struggles that they have struggled with. You know the challenges that they have faced. And I know that you will not take away struggles. You will not even take away those old struggles. But Father, I just pray that their lives would be filled with obedience and that you would enable them to do what they cannot do themselves and that they would learn this dependence that Daniel talked about, Father. We just thank you and praise you for the Holy Spirit because through your power we can do all things. Give them courage. Take away their fear and their anxieties. And as they go into the water, may they experience perfect peace. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of being here together. Thank you for Daniel and his family and for how they've led us into a deeper experience. And we just praise you for being here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father in heaven, we're so grateful that we get to witness this beautiful moment today. We thank you, Lord, for this ordinance that you have given us, the ordinance of baptism. Thank you, Lord, that we can, through baptism, show that we have taken a public stand for you, that we want to be on your side, Lord, that we want to be filled with your Spirit, that we desire to live a life of dependence and obedience. Lord, I want to thank you for Cherie and for Tony, and I want to pray your Spirit that it may rest upon them. Lord, grant them a double portion of your Spirit. Grant them courage to live for you. And I pray, Lord, that this may be a reminder for all of us today that we can each day decide to die to self and to live for Christ. So be with them in a very special way, Lord, and grant us your blessing as we witness this baptism in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So it's a real privilege to stand here together with you, Tony. Tony is my friend, and I really respect and appreciate so much the spiritual insight that God has given you and the love for Jesus that God has given to you. And so this is just an awesome moment that the Holy Spirit has moved upon Tony to rededicate his life to him. There's a very special text that he has that he would like me to share with you. It's 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And he would like to share a short testimony, and I'll be reading his testimony. He says, there's one text that really stands out to me as perfectly describing my experience with God. Every Sabbath during prayer and praise time, I long to share the same text over and over every single Sabbath and praise God for its truthfulness in my life. But my own pride and fear of what people would think of me if that was my only praise every Sabbath prevents me. I believe with all my heart that in heaven, if after a million years I ever get a chance to praise God in front of the millions of redeemed and the angels worshiping before God's throne, my praise even then would be this. Even during all the times of faithlessness and unfaithfulness in my life, God truly has remained faithful. Not because of who I am or what I have done or have not done or what I could ever do, but because of who He is. And he could never deny who he is. Love. Pure, unending love. His mercy truly does endure forever. His mercies are new every single morning. And while I was yet his enemy, he loved me so much, he gave his very own son to die for me. In light of all this, how can I possibly hold back any part of my heart or my life from him? Please take the sinful mess that I am, dearest Jesus, let it die with you, that I might also be raised to newness of life with you, living and abiding in the power of the same Spirit that raised you from the dead. Amen. And so because you have put your faith in Jesus, we are in the water today. What a privilege it is to be here and to experience this together. Sherry, you know, this is a real privilege to be together with you. I really appreciate you as a person. You are a gentle soul. And I believe that Jesus has led you to make this decision to get rebaptized and to rededicate your life to him. You would like to start afresh and rededicate your life to him. And I praise God that you could come to these meetings and that God's Spirit has been working on you in this way to do that. We have been studying together for a little while in Winston Church, and you will be having your membership there. And you're one who really is very honest and very open and have lots of good questions and lots of good issues that you want to bring up, and I appreciate that about you. You have a special text here that you would like me to read that expresses your deepest desires, I think. This is from Ephesians chapter 3, 16 through 20, and you've chosen a translation that translates it in just a beautiful way. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with him, with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. What a beautiful, beautiful text. May God empower you and do more for you than you can even imagine or think. Because of your faith, you are here in this water today, and God has led you here, and pray that God would give you a rich experience in his grace. You know, if there's anybody today who has not yet made that decision, the Lord is calling upon you. And please come to me afterwards and speak to me. Because you know what? We can't wait for another day. We can't wait for next week or 2 months from now. The Lord is calling us to choose you today whom you will serve. And that's a serious, serious thing, because we are only given today. We don't know if we have tomorrow. We don't know if we have next week. And so God is urging upon you to put your life right so that you can give yourself totally to Jesus. I just want to pray a short prayer that God would work upon all of our hearts to make those necessary decisions that he's calling us to make. Father in heaven, we are all on probationary time. We have but a short time on this planet Earth to learn what is most important and to dedicate our lives to you and live for you. Lord, there are perhaps individuals here amongst us who are feeling the urging of your Spirit to give their lives to you. I just want to pray that, Father, you would direct their feet and their path. May we all be totally yours and dedicated to your service. We thank you that you are calling and urging each one of us. Father, we praise you and glorify you for what has happened today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us receive God's blessing before we leave. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you once again that we can come before you. Thank you for this beautiful service that we've been able to witness here this morning. And thank you, Lord, for reminding us that we need you every single hour. Lord, help us to live that life of dependence and that life of obedience. Help us to walk in the way that you have set before us. And may your blessing rest upon us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.